for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Men's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Friday evening, October the 14th, 2016. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on lost sheep.
Well, praise God. It's good, isn't it? Appreciate the music. Pastor Neese, David, thank you very much. Praise God. It's hard to know. I have been pastor of the church where I'm at for 38 years and pastor of another church for that, and preached thousands of sermons, literally. And sometimes to know what to preach. I had a sermon tonight, but I believe maybe Sunday morning, but right now I think the Lord wants me to preach the same one I preached this Wednesday night. Praise God. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. I thank you for these men that are here. Men are precious to you. You love men. Praise God. You love men. You came to men. Praise God. And women, but you came for men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just talk to us tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Wednesday, I went to the county jail to baptize a young man. He requested that I baptize him. And went in there. This young man, I knew him when he was 5 years old. His father and mother were the first teachers in our Christian school way back there, about 24 years ago. And he was 5 years old. He had a sister just a little older than him. And his dad, he had been an alcoholic, and God saved him. And you know, he was immediately, I mean, it's almost immediately, looked like he's 10 years younger. God does that. Well, he was really got filled with the Holy Ghost and was preaching and prophesying. I mean, awesome. And God mightily used him. But his wife, I don't know if she never really got in or what, but she decided she didn't want to be there anymore. We had him in a house there on the church property. And he came to me and he talked to me. And he was very distraught. He said she doesn't want to be here anymore. Well, I already knew that. I saw that. And he said, well, she's cut me off sexually. And I tried to talk to him. And but they moved almost in the middle of the night. He did to keep her. Same thing that Adam did concerning Eve. You understand that? Men, women can control men. I've seen it so many times. I have seen it so many times. That men that were living for God or ministering, we had an ex-assistant pastor and his wife, who's, I don't know what to say, I'm not her judge, but did the same thing to him, wanted out of there. Didn't want to be there. And he hasn't preached since he left. He's miserable. Gone through some terrible times physically. But anyway, so they left and moved down near Houston. We're up in Northeast Texas. And he would talk to me every once in a while. So I'm still praying. I'm still reading the Word, you know. And his mother died, and they asked me to preach her funeral. It's a large family. And at the gravesite, he wanted to say something. And I said, sure. And he came and he had a few pages of handwritten pages, notebook paper. And he started reading it, and I thought, oh my, what has happened to this man? A young man that had revelation. And you never heard the biggest bunch of junk. This rambling, this not making any sense. And he came to me, you know, that he had lost all the revelation he had. If we go back on God, we go back to what we were and worse. I've seen that happen many times. I mean, you can't be somewhere as long as I have and not see some things. One of the men on our board went back on God. And, you know, whatever you give up God for, you're going to lose. I'll write that down and sign it. Whatever you give up God for, you will lose. Whether it's your wife, your job, whatever it is, you'll lose it. And I've seen that so many times. But this man who's on our board, within a short time, he lost his good-paying job, a truck driver. His wife separated him from him, divorced him. He lost his kids. He lost his home, lost his job. But he went back on God. And then he almost lost his life. He and a friend had gone to a drinking party. Coming back, the other guy was driving and drunk, and he hit a big oak tree. He was thrown out. The other man, his legs were broke, but he was thrown out, and they had to put his brains back in his skull. He's blind in one eye now. Shouldn't have lived, and they care flight him to Tyler and then care flight him to John Seeley Hospital in Galveston. I went down to see him, and they had him on a table with a diaper on turning, and he was unconscious for months. Whatever you give up God for, you will lose. That's just a law. That's a principle. But this young man, listening to him talk, I thought, what is that? Well, he left to keep his wife, and his wife found her a sugar daddy and left him. And then, if you don't know what one of those is, I'll tell you. So the daughter, as a teenager, got pregnant out of wedlock. The son, that's the one I baptized Wednesday. And I love that young man. This is such a neat young man. But that's the one I baptized in a trough there in the county jail. They were baptizing 9 men and 3 women. And I'm going to tell you this, though. When they I didn't baptize all of them. Different ones had different ones. They wanted to, you know, baptize them. The pastor of the First Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs, there, I didn't know who he was. I went and asked him, who are you? What do you do? I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church. It's a huge church. But anyway, he's a nice man. But when he began to he baptized the first few. And when he began to baptize, I mean, the Spirit of God came on me. I mean, the presence of God in a jail. Well, that shouldn't be too far stretched for us, you know. Paul and Barnabas, the Spirit of God came, and all the doors came open, and you know, and the jailer gives his heart and life and his family to the Lord. It's the same presence of God I feel under the bridges where we go to feed the homeless and preach to them. Tonight's the night we go, the assistant pastor and some others went. I don't know how you can feel the prayer, but it's true under those bridges. And I'm telling you, it's not a Holy Ghost hoedown. The stuff that goes on under there. There are people under there that know God and love God. There's an older black gentleman in a wheelchair living under the bridges, and he's always got his Bible. And he has his right mind. And one of the pastor that organizes all this, Pastor Rowe, he told me, he said, you know, not long ago that man prophesied to me about my children. And he was going through a divorce. This man was a school teacher making $42,000 a year. That wasn't enough, so he started flipping houses and doing that. You know, I mean, he's making money. And just things were going good. But then he got saved. Well, his wife left him, took the kids. He lost his job. He lost everything. Drives an old clunkered vehicle. For a while, he wasn't even driving one. His brother finally hired him and then fired him. And See, I just want you to understand, if you get saved doesn't mean things are going to get better, you know, in the natural. Do you understand that? But the outward man's perishing, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. But he was coming up the divorce hearing, custody and divorce hearing, and he couldn't even afford a lawyer. And he said, sure enough, and went to court, and the judge granted the kids to their mom. And he said, now listen, but the man prophesied to him that he'd have his kids. But on Monday, the judge emailed him and said, come get your kids. You have total custody of your kids. And he went and got his kids, and he has his kids. So I'm just telling you, not everyone on the bridge is whatever people think they are. There's some real crazy things under there. But the presence of God is there. And I mean, this is awesome. And there, the presence of God was under, was there in the jail. After I baptized him, I had to go pick up a lady from Mount Pleasant that was coming into our ministry there, a homeless lady, and had nowhere to go. We have quite a few homeless. Some have been living in their car. There was a man called earlier in the week wanting to come, and I asked him some questions. I asked him, do you smoke? He said, yes. I said, well, you can't smoke here. And so he hasn't come. I guess he'd rather be homeless than quit smoking. But you just got to, you know, some things you got to take a stand about. Well, praise God. So I want to talk to you about lost sheep. A lost sheep. Praise God. Luke 15:1. Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Hear Jesus. Now it was an undesirable of society that drew near to Jesus to hear his words. The undesirables drew near to him. If there were any of the religious people in the crowd, they were there to criticize him, try to trick him up on his words, false accuse him, so forth. You understand that? The reason they wanted to hear Jesus is because the words that he spoke, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63, right? Their spirit and their life. I believe when we preach, we need to speak life into people. When we worship, whatever, we need to be speaking life. And men, as we go, I need to ask, how many of you men are single? Just raise your hand, how many? That's just almost a majority, isn't it? Almost. And I don't know if you're single because you hadn't caught one yet, or you're divorced, or whatever the reason is. I've been single for a year. My wife passed away a year ago. And I can tell you, I don't know about you guys, how you feel about being single, but it's difficult, especially after 41 years of marriage. It's very difficult to be single. But we have a little store. Our church has a store, and there's a little plaque in there, and it says, there's some things worse than not being married, and that's being married to the wrong one. So, but praise God, be careful, right? Now, they wanted to hear him because he spoke life. Also, the people recognized that Jesus' speech was different from the religious leaders of that day. For the scripture says his word was with power. And they declared in verse 36, that's Luke 4:32, verse 36, what a word is this, they said. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. They come out. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives or welcomes sinners and eats with them. He eats with them. This is the theme of this message now. Our reaction to sinners compared to Jesus' reaction to them. Our heart toward them compared to Jesus' heart toward them. Now, only the Holy Spirit can change our attitude towards undesirables. I think a certain presidential candidate called us a basket full of, what was it?
Deplorables.
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 Well, praise God, yes. It was deplorables, undesirables that the Lord came for. You know that? He came to seek and save that which is lost. We've operated, as I said, a Christian school for about 24 years. I'm losing count now. And always there was this conflict because it's a Christian school, see. So some interpret that meaning that it's all little Christian kids in there, and all the good kids are Christian kids. And some people think that's what church is for. It's all the good people come together. And whatever your men's group, your whatever you're involved in, it's all the good people. But I let whosoever will come. There were some conditions, but they came. And some of them were on probation. In fact, I like for the ones on probation to come because you had more leverage over them. Just call a probation officer, and I'd tell them I would, you know. But so there's always this conflict, and the Christian parents with the Christian kids, the good kids that weren't as good as they thought they were when they weren't there. We had a lady one time, a family came, and they put their daughter in the school because they were having problems with her and couldn't let her go to public school. And one of the teachers in intercepted a note she wrote. She hadn't been there long. And it would make you blush. You know, it was pretty bad. Well, he gave it to her. I don't know how smart that was, but he gave it to her. And her reaction was to pull her out of school. We had corrupted her daughter. And so she pulled her out of school and took her back home to homeschool. No, we didn't corrupt her. She just showed what she was. That's all that was. She just showed what she was. But so there was always this conflict. And they say, you don't need to let those kind of people, those kind of kids come to this school. But the Lord repeatedly would say to me, it's the sick that need a physician. It's the sick that need a physician. It's the sick that need a physician. And if you're one of the sick tonight, you need a physician. Praise God. Now, he spoke this parable to them, Jesus, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? If you're one of those one lost sheep tonight, he's looking for you. I'm telling you, he's looking for you. I know the devil may be screaming in your ear how sorry you are, low down, there's no hope for you, your last chance, you blew it, whatever. You may feel so low you don't even want to, you can't even crawl around on the floor. And and maybe you're sorrowful and you're grieving over your sin. And you do know there's a difference between condemnation and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know that, don't you? Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And now here's the difference. So here's the difference we see between Jesus' attitude toward the wayward ones and the attitude of most saved and safe sheep. This is it. He is willing to leave the 99, and notice where it said in the wilderness. And he put them in a motel. They're in the wilderness. And he leaves them and goes looking for that one lost sheep. That's how important that one lost sheep, that's how important you are to him. How important I am to him. I don't know what you failed God about. It may have been last night. I do what's hard is be a pastor and fail God and then have to preach the next day. And you may disagree with what I'm saying, but I've told our church, hey, you know, if the condition for preaching was that you hadn't sinned in a week, a month, or something, none of us could preach. I mean, nobody could. We just all have to sit around and look at each other. And I'm not condoning that. You understand, I'm not condoning sinning. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Peter denied that he even knew the Lord, but a few days later, he's standing up and preaching and 3,000 people are saved. The Lord showed confidence in that man. Now, and I thank God that he knows what's in our heart and what we can be. Praise God. We look at people as they are and we judge them, but he looks at us as what he intends for us to be. And if you'll give him a chance and you won't buy into the devil's lie, that it's over for you. And that you just can't serve God. You just can't live for God. Every time you fail, the devil's there. JC there. You need to give up. You need to quit. You need to sit on the back pew. You need to hunker down. You need to put your tail between your legs. You know, you need whatever. And I'm not saying act like nothing happened. I hope you understand that. If you listen to me preach very much, you know I'm not saying that. Now, the sheep that are not lost want Jesus to pay attention to them, to meet their needs, to look after them, to keep them safe and secure. Verse 5, and when the shepherd has found it, this one lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now we see what causes the Lord to rejoice. Some may think, well, if I fall out in the Spirit on the floor, the Lord rejoices. Or if I dance in the Spirit, or if I put a lot of money in the offering, or if I, whatever, witness to the lost. If I leave a track on the urinal in the men's restroom, that kind of thing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm just, and that the Lord's rejoicing. But what is he rejoiced about? Because he found that one lost sheep, and he wants other people to rejoice with him. And the Lord would sure be happy tonight if you come back to him. He'd be very happy. Praise God. I know so far we've talked about this as being a meeting of men that are all saved and everything's right. And no, there's some here tonight, maybe a lot of us, that there's some things that need to be dealt with and we need to get right with God. And he's willing to do that for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, his sheep, he rejoices that his sheep that have strayed away from the fold are found and rescued. Some only want to blame those who've gone astray. They have no compassion or love for them like Jesus did. Did you hear what so-and-so did? I don't know if men gossip as much as women, but I know they do. And spread it around and tell things on each other. And some gloat about it. I told you that's what he was. This lady that I picked up, she's about 40, 41. She's been there before. And I had to take her away. I had to take her back where I found her, which is on the street. And this young guy had came about her age. Very nice looking. She's a nice looking woman. And so he came, and she told some of the other women there, said, I got debs on him. Well, I knew by about the second day that already one of them visited the other's bedroom. But it's a two-story building, that particular building. We have more than one building. But I'm not going to sit in a chair in the lobby with a shotgun. I mean, I'm not. And I'm not going around. I told the church all the time, I'm not going around peeking in your windows to see if you're doing right. I'll preach to you. You mess up, you want prayer, I'll help you out, But anyway, I can't go into all the detail, but I had to take. And so this young man that, how I knew that, I knew something going on when they're standing in the prayer line and he's patting her behind like that. I said, something wrong here. And so you just don't do this. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. You just don't do that. Well, she really acted up right after church one night, cussing, screaming, and carrying on. Somebody had upset her in front of the kids, all our kids. And I told her, I said, you pack your things. I'm taking you somewhere. And he said, you can't do that. You can't put her out on the street. I said, oh, yes, I can. That's where I found her, and I can take her back there. So we were taking her. I'm smart enough, I take a few people with me, And he said, well, I'm going to. And I said, I thought you would. I figured you would. So we're taking them, and we're going toward town. We're way out in the country. We're going toward town, and they get mouthy. And I told them, I said, you need to shut that up, because I'm not going to have it. Well, they keep on, and I was going to just stop and let them off the side of the road in the country. But then I saw the pilot sign up there, and I thought, no, I'll let them off there. At least there's people there. And as they were getting out, she said, see there, I told you what kind of man he was. That's talking about me. So she's the one I picked up Wednesday. I didn't ask her about it. I didn't confront her. I didn't feel like I should. There's one time I'm on our sexual committee, and we interview ministers, and there was a lady came in there. And when she went out, I felt uneasy about her. We discussed it, and decide. And I told the other men, the other preachers, pastors, I said, look, I don't think this is right. When I said that, one of her brother-in-law was on the committee too, and he spoke and said, you need to know what's going on, and told us a lot about that woman. So when she came in, we wouldn't give her credentials, and she unloaded on us, called us male chauvinists, and come to find out she's outside the door listening to us, eavesdropping. And so I said, praise God, you know. I felt better because I don't want to hurt anybody, but that's what the Lord showed me. There's something wrong with this woman. Well, the next year she came back and wanted her credentials. She's trying to get. She's trying to be so careful, you know, what she said this time. And so we're going along, and I just had to do it. I said, well, I want to know something. What? I said, oh, you still think we're male chauvinists? She said, I knew somebody had asked that question. I knew it'd be you. And but they let her have them anyway, but it never did work. It didn't work out. Well, praise God. We see no worth in those who have strayed, but Jesus saw so much worth in these, that one lost sheep, that he left all the saved sheep and went after that one lost sheep. See, if you're lost tonight, if you're outside, if you stray from him, he's after you. Let us look upon those who strayed as Jesus did. He never said why they got lost. He never told us why the sheep got lost. And there's where, you know, we're trying to figure it out. We say, well, they did this, they did that. And we all are real, real good at telling why this happened, see. But we don't even know for the most part, we don't even know their situation. We don't know what's going on in their life. I tell you what, if some of us were in their situation, we might not have lasted as long as they've lasted. We just don't know that. And we don't need to judge our heart. We already have a heart towards them, loving them. And there may be a man in here tonight that another man stole your wife. And if you could, you'd shoot him or do whatever. But I'm telling the Lord, send you tonight to forgive that man.
Yes, that's right.
Forgive that man and love his soul.
That's right.
You know, as a pastor, I have seen sitting in my church a woman that left this one man, and now she's married to another man, and the other man's coming, and that's real awkward, you know, but praise God. You just have to take people where they're at. But let me tell you something. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that's to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But we've made a lot of things unpardonable sin, and they're not. And maybe tonight the Lord is telling you what you've done is the unpardonable sin. And I believe a lot of people that think they committed the unpardonable sin have it. Let me say this. I don't believe the Holy Spirit would be dealing with you. I don't believe you'd even be here tonight if you committed the unpardonable sin. I know what a reprobate is. The Lord showed me. And a reprobate means it's over with for them. They're just going to finish their life and die because they cannot get saved. You may disagree with me, but and I'm not saying a lot of people are, but I know some that God told me there were reprobates. There was one man that came to our church. He's the one that sued me over a Bible. He's the one that tried to, a lot of things. I don't go into all that. But the Lord told me he's a reprobate. And he came because his wife came. He tithed because he told me it worked. Well, he was... One time he was using a torch. He was cleaning up some scrap metal, and he happened to hit a coil that had Freon in it, and it blew up on him and burned him bad. And he rolled on the ground. The man's so mean and tough, he never even went to the doctor. He's just peeling the skin off his face and his hands, you know. But he kind of changed during that time. And I thought, well, maybe, Lord, you changed your mind. Maybe he's not a reprobate. Maybe you're going to save him. But when he saw he's going to live, he's right back to being as mean as he ever was. Praise God. Well, Jesus never said how they got lost. And I just want to say that that's not the important thing. Why? How did this sheep get lost? Was it not paying attention? Was it devious? Was it rebellious? I don't know. But it was lost. That's all that mattered. The sheep was lost. And so he's determined to find them and restore them. We read in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore them, such a one. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. I know a lady that, I have to be careful, you know, about this, but in telling you this, but I know a lady that wouldn't forgive another lady for doing some inappropriate things. She had left her husband for another man, and she wouldn't forgive her, and they were both in the church, and very angry towards her, and a lot of things. But she's so righteous, and this other such a dog, you know. You know, it came out a few years later that she was doing worse. Now, I don't think she was then. But see what it's, hear this. Blessed you also be tempted. She never thought, I don't think she ever thought she'd do that. But it came out she did it since that time, and worse, much worse. Verse 7, I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Repentance brings joy to heaven more than the righteousness of just people. Let us remember what Jesus said, they that are whole, I told you this earlier, need not a physician, but they that are sick, Luke 5:31. Now we must determine if the church is to be a hospital or a social club for the righteous. We have to decide that. And we must determine which God wants each of us to be. What does He want you to be? A physician or a consumer of the blessings of the Lord? What does He want you to be? Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces, this is Jesus speaking, 10 pieces of silver, verse 8, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it. The Lord's speaking to us here in plain terms. We're to seek the ones that are lost. Light a candle, turn on some light, and go after them, praise God, and seek them diligently. I think it's important that we understand, turn on a light, and a light a candle, and go after them. Don't try to act like them. I mean, that's a real thing in the church today. If we act as close as we can to the world, maybe they'll come. If we'll give them what the world's given them, then they'll come. But when they come, what have you got? And I heard a pastor a long time ago saying it's awful hard to wean people off of hamburgers onto Jesus. And it is. Some argue that this commandment refers only to those who were never saved. Never saved. Or that those who were once saved and have backslidden will just have to find their own way back or be eternally lost. May God give us compassion. And every one of you men in here tonight, you know some men, I believe you do, that once lived for God. And perhaps you wrote them off and you were disgusted with them. And you were afraid if you got too close to the situation, you might fail God too. I told the Lord one time, I'd rather be I want to stay under the radar. I don't want to be a great preacher because great preachers seem to fail. So I'll just stay down here, you know, and just be this little preacher so maybe the devil won't get after me too hard. But the devil, it doesn't matter, you know. He's after the little ones and the big ones, if there is such a thing. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I still feel that way. I'm sorry. Well, I want to make heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to make heaven. And I don't want to be such a big preacher that the devil comes after me and messes me up. But an old preacher told me a long time ago when I first started, said, every preacher's going to have his Waterloo, basically. You know, he's going to fail somewhere. Better that you fail at the beginning before anybody knows your name than fail when you get to be big. And it is good advice, really. You know, there's some great preachers, TV preachers, that failed. And where do you ever show your face? Everybody knows your face because you've been trying to get it out there, you know. And so they know you. But Paul said, I had, and Moses said the similar thing. Moses said, take my name off your book if you're not going to spare them and save them. And Paul said, I would gladly be ostracized from God or that my countrymen might be saved. Oh, that's love. That is real love. Do you feel that way about those friends you know and family members that maybe it's your own dad? Maybe you hate your dad. You won't say it with your mouth, but you hate him because of the way he treated you. And you've been withholding and you haven't gone after him like you ought to go after him and win him back to the Lord. I grew up, I hated my dad. I hated my dad. And he beat me. He left stripes on me from a belt, purple, blue, yellow, whatever color you want. And he never told me he loved me. It was tough. You know, I could go on for a while about that. He told me I didn't have sense. God gave a goose. Do I need to draw you a picture? Just rough, you know, tough, rough. And never hugged me. And I hated him. But, you know, God, thank God, he helped me. And so, as an adult, I made up my mind in the Lord that I was going to have a relationship with that man. I made up my mind. Now, it wasn't what I would like for it to be in, but it was a lot better. And so I see him, I say, I love you, Dad. Well, he just couldn't get that out of his mouth, you know. But before it was over, you call him, and he would tell you first, praise God, that he loved you. And God changed that man and my father, and he began to, revelation. And I was surprised the things he'd come out of his mouth, things about the Lord. And isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? And that man that stole your wife or your girlfriend, you want him to make heaven. Do you? That boss that fired you? And it wasn't fair and it wasn't right. That policeman that arrested you and you didn't do anything wrong, or the judge that sent you down, but you're not guilty. Of course, most of them in jail say they're not. But maybe you weren't guilty. Being in that jail, going in jail, Mr. Being in jail, I was thinking to myself Wednesday, I wish they'd all stay this way, the ones that are trying to, you know, going to the church, they're going to services and all. I wish they'd stay this way when they get out. But they're so controlled. You know what I'm telling you, if you're in the prison ministry, it's a controlled atmosphere. I've had some write me, "Oh, Brother Pinson," "Brother Pinson, when I get out, I'm coming to church first thing I do." And they never showed up, ever showed up. Praise God. Love them anyway. Because Jesus loves them. And he's out looking for them. Well, but for anything to be lost, it once had to belong, right? It can't be lost unless he once had that person. He wants them back. And when she found it, the lost coin, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." I lost. When Jesus said, "which I lost," he's saying that we all must take personal responsibility for those sheep that are lost. We must. We have to take responsibility for them. And as if I didn't do something, you know, we all want to say, "I did the best I could do." We even say that about our children. "I didn't raise them that way." You know? Verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents." Shouldn't we rejoice over the same things that angels rejoice over? Tell some of you men rejoice more over your favorite sports team winning than you do over a lost person being saved. Come on now, that's right. You get more excited. You talk about it more. You think about it. You buy their stuff. You know, you wouldn't miss a game. Thank God for, what is it, DVR, whatever. So if you're at church, you can record it, not miss a single blow, you know. Isn't God good? Gave you DVR. When I first went to that church, the basket is a small country school there. And I thought, "Oh, praise God, my kids are going to go to a small country school. It's going to be so great." Because I grew up in Dallas and huge high schools, you know. This 770 in my graduating class. And it wasn't even that big. And I thought, this is wonderful. Found out it's got its own problems, big time. But they played basketball, and I mean, it was very important to them. They, in their gym, they have all these banners where they won all this, you know. And I didn't know they felt that way about all that. And I was having a revival during a basketball tournament. Oh my goodness! And one of them finally, I said, where is everybody? You know, down at the gym watching the basketball game. And one lady finally came to say, I wish you wouldn't have these revivals during basketball season. And that's the way she felt about it. Praise God. I don't know why I'm telling you all that, but praise God, that's the truth. Man, you know where they're at. Now I want to talk to you about touching Jesus. So Luke 7:36, and one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would eat with him. Now this is a Pharisee, and the super duper religious people. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now was it difficult for Jesus to eat with the self-righteous? They were so busy finding fault with him, but the sinners never found fault with Jesus. You know that? Check that out in your Bible. Check that out in your Bible. Verse 37, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Oh my God, she's a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat, she must have been doing something for them to know that. That Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, was it difficult for this same sinner woman to enter into the house of a self-righteous man that she knew would criticize her? And I want to ask you this, is it hard for the harlots to come into your church? She probably was a harlot, I don't know. Is it hard for the drug addict to come to your church? Is it hard for the person that's been married 5 times to come to your church? Is it hard? We need to preach truth, and I preach truth. But do we make it hard for them to come to our meetings? Verse 38, she stood at his feet, Jesus' feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. I tell you, there you have a picture of true worship. Amen? I mean, I know if in a lot of our churches, you know, the music is just so great, and the everything, the colored lights, and the, all this stuff they're doing now, the smoke machines. But look at her. Have you ever worshipped Jesus like that? Have you ever? I mean, she don't care who sees her. She doesn't care what they think. She's focused on this Jesus. And she's so overwhelmed and overcome. You know what? Hey, we're men. But we ought to worship Him like that. You know that? We ought to love Him with all our hearts. We ought to be in love with Jesus and have a love relationship with Him. Do you? Do you have that? Are you? Why are you even here tonight? Why, if you go to church, why do you go to church? Wow. She's weeping. She's washing his feet with her tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head. And you know her hair wasn't very clean after that. And I'm sure, you know, a woman, her hair is pretty important. I mean, you can't even get anywhere on time because she's in there on that hair, you know, fixing that hair. And spending your money to fix it. But she's wiping his feet with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. The uninhibited worship flows out of this sinner woman. She is a sinner woman. Don't say sinners can't worship God. She ain't saved yet now. You read on down, she's not saved yet. But she's worshiping Him. But not one hint of worship comes out of that self-righteous man that invited Jesus. Not one hint. It's kind of like the two went into the temple, Jesus said, the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee's so busy saying, I thank God I'm not like him. I pay tithes, you know, I fast twice a week, I do all this, and thank God I'm not like him. And he's over there wanting to lift his head up, smoting his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one went down to his home justified? Praise God. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, oh my, we got trouble now. Trouble here. What are you doing in here? What are you doing? I remember the first time growing up in church in Dallas, a lady walked in with pants on. Oh my God. It almost stopped the service cold. Some of y'all got old enough, remember when they didn't wear pants to church, are you? You didn't wear open-toed shoes either. You're going to hell if you wore open-toed shoes. You ever heard? I don't know if you were. And the sleeves had to be down to here, and the dress had to be. Now, that's for women. Men, whatever, you know. Whatever. Yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't looked real good. If you are, you cover them up. But it's hard for me to sit in church and look at a man's hairy legs. That's just inappropriate to me. Just whatever. It is. It's nasty. Praise God. Okay. Now, I guess if he's going to do that, at least needs to shave him. I don't know like when. As I just told you, this self-righteous man is doing nothing but criticizing Jesus. He's finding fault with him for loving the sinners. When this man disdained them with all his heart, he hated this woman. You're messing this up. I invited him in here. I'm going to show him how religious I am. And here you come messing up our service. You're messing it up. The fact is that Jesus knew all about this sinner woman. And yet he allowed her to touch him in worship and gratitude. When we see a sinner, lost sheep, what do we see? Now let me read that verse, verse 39. When the Pharisee which had bidden him saw him, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, speaking of Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. He would have known. Well, the fact is he didn't. He did know. And that's exactly why he let her touch him. He did know. Other women touched him. But I can tell you there's nothing inappropriate in that. Nothing inappropriate. You know, Mary hanging on to Jesus there at the tomb. And he said, don't hang on to me. I haven't ascended my Father yet. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. The Lord's going to call him out on this. And he's going to call you and me out on this. And just like those that won't forgive others, he said, lest you also be tempted. That's being called out. You know that? That's being called out. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, none of us have anything to pay. None of us. And I'll tell you, all you ever did in your life was steal a dime, and everybody else has done terrible things. You're just as guilty on your way to hell as they are. You know that? And when they had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he had forgave most. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, see you this woman? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears. It was customary to provide water for them to wash their feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them the hairs of her head. You didn't give a towel even. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She didn't even have to walk the aisle of the church and profess Christ and say the sinner's prayer. Neither did the man on the cross. Jesus said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. That's important tonight for us to understand that. Maybe the reason you don't love Jesus like you are to love him is because you just don't think you've been forgiven of that much. I don't know. Could be another reason. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say to themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now she had demonstrated and proven her faith by doing what she did for Jesus. And we know that it was in faith because he had not yet spoken words of comfort and forgiveness to her. She went in there in faith and did it. You understand? When we come to the house of God, you get in your prayer closet. I hope you have a prayer closet somewhere. Now I just have to say, if you're not in the Word, you're not going to heaven. And if you say, well, you can't say that. Oh, yes. Jesus said, if you abide in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. Okay? I don't think you're going to heaven unless you're a disciple. Heaven's for disciples. And if we are not praying, if we're not a praying man, we can't make heaven. Come on, don't be fooling ourselves. You got time to watch that football. You got time to go fishing. You got time to do everything else. How can we diligently seek the lost and allow them to touch us unless we by faith can see them restored to the family of God? You know, it's an interesting thing that sometimes we don't want to be seen around those people. They'll think we're like them. We don't want to help them, you know. I saw Merrill last camp meeting hug a young man that most people wanted to stay as far away as they could. I saw him hug, I mean, gently and love hug that man. But we would kind of, you know, slip back. We don't want to be associated or somebody to think we're like, we don't even want people to know we know them. God help us. Now, she had demonstrated and proven her faith. Now, how can we diligently seek the lost and allow them to touch us unless we, by faith, as I said, can see them restored to the family of God? We've got to see that it's possible. In John 4:20, and if all this came his disciples and marveled that Jesus talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seek you or why do you talk with her? This is a woman at the well, been married 5 times and living, shacking up with a man she wasn't married to. And she's a Samaritan. The disciples were amazed, said they marveled that he's talking to her. You ever had someone come, you need to stay away from them, buddy. They're going to influence you and they're going to pull you away from God. I do believe that we need to be careful. You need to know what level you're on. You need to know how strong you are in God. Right? We do. But the important thing is not that we're figuring all this out. We're led by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, if it's the Holy Spirit that leads you, you'll be okay. Now, they were amazed that Jesus spoke to this half-breed woman who was also obviously a sinner. In their minds, Jesus had come only to bless those who were already righteous. And that it's just like when Jesus said how hard it was for a rich man to go to heaven, they were just amazed. And they said, then who can be saved? Because they thought riches was an indication of righteousness. And so that to speak to this woman might somehow bring a reproach upon Jesus and upon them. I mean, they knew what was going around in the circles. You know, oh, he's with sinners. He welcomes them. He's, you know, he's letting them touch him. And you have to rethink whether you want to be part of this group. Surely, you know, I don't know if many of you remember back when the bus ministry was big. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Every church had got a bus. We had 3 of them running them. Not where I'm at now, but in Dallas. And so we're bringing these kids in. Some of them were black. Oh, my. But, you know, this is back a while back, you know. And some of them were Hispanic. And some of them were wild Indians. And some of the people in the church, it's a nice building. They're trying to keep it nice. They spend a lot of money. And this is their sanctuary. And this is, but the kids were messing it up. And they're getting the walls dirty, and they're getting the bathrooms trashy, and they were doing this, and they were doing that, and we don't need to bring them anymore. You need to quit bringing these kids here. Surely if Jesus continued to do such things, people would be talking and gossiping about it. But no one is too low, or too bad, or too different. By different, we mean gender, race, religion, whatever. No one is too low, too bad, too different for Jesus to reach out to and save. No one is. No one is. You know, if the church had been doing its job for the last 50 years, we wouldn't. This nation would not be in the mess it's in.
That's right. That's right.
If we had been doing what we should have been doing. But so busy trying to build mega churches and these fools on TV that are worth millions of dollars fleecing God's sheep. All this junk that's going on. And we've made it something that the Lord never intended for it to be. If we had been praying like we should, if we'd been in the Word, if we would love our neighbor as ourselves. But how can we reach out to them unless we're willing to speak to them? And how can we bring a lost sheep back into the fold unless we're willing to go after them until we find them? and spend whatever is required. You know, Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent. And then put them on our shoulders and carry them, however far as necessary, whatever dangers are involved, whatever it cost us, and before all those critics. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Jesus. In the meantime, Jesus' disciples, they had returned from town, had been bought food, and asked him, saying, Master, eat. He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. What's yours? What's mine? Come on now, what is it? Does it even come close to what he's saying right here? All you worried about is getting yourself to heaven, maybe your family, and having a good time on the way, having everything you need, being comfortable, you know, living the American dream. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got retirement, if you can get it out, you better get it out, because you ain't going to have anything. I'm just putting that in there. Praise God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not you. He said, aren't you saying, there are yet 4 months and then comes harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit into life eternal. Well, on the flip side of that, if we don't reap souls, are we going to get anything? Is there going to be any reward for us? Well, Lord, I pastored the biggest church in town. That's just wonderful. You know, but how many souls did you win to him? How many people did you help? How many people did you encourage? He that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit into life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Here it is that saying, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Jesus for the saying of that woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they saw him that he would tarry with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his, Jesus' own word, and said to the woman, now we believe not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Look at this. 12 of them go into the city and can't bring one person out to hear Jesus. Why? Because they don't think those people are worthy. They're Samaritans. She goes, this sinner woman, everybody knows what she is, and brings the whole town out. The whole town out. And she hadn't even been in the Bible school they've been in for almost 3 years. And she brings all of them. What are you doing? What am I doing? Praise God. What wonderful words to hear coming out of new believers in Christ. Praise God. Romans 10:12. I'm almost finished here. For there is no, and I promise I don't have 15 finishes or endings. You ever been listening to that? I'm about through, Bob. 30 minutes. Oh my God, please help me. Romans, I usually don't even say that. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. There is no difference to the Lord between you and the drug addict, the prostitute, the homosexual, the lesbian, the pedophilic. What's that word? Somebody help me out there. You know. Pedophile, thank you. Oh, yes, there is. Nope. It's not the unpardonable sin. Man over here committing adultery. Well, I'm not doing what he's doing. Well, you're going to hell too. You know, you are if you don't repent. What else can we name? We name a lot of things. You know, just get right down to it. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, praise God. We heard about calling on the Lord tonight. While Mary was talking, my youngest son has I've spent a lot of money bailing him out. I mean, till I didn't have any more money left. And I did it gladly. But finally, they're about to lose everything. And I'm sorry, I had nothing left to help them with. I just had to tell them. And it was getting worse, about to lose their car, the house, the behind on the house. They're just behind. And finally, I said to him, I said, son, why don't you try crying out to God? Now, he didn't think that's the answer. Next time I see him, son, you need to cry out to God. Same thing. After a while, I said, son, you need to cry out to God. You know what? He did. And his wife did. And the next day, he got a job. Next day. Praise God. He said, I prayed like I never prayed before. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. And I'm really concerned about our nation, folks. Guys, I'm concerned about this nation. And you need to be concerned. Well, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? How is the one lost sheep going to be found if the shepherd doesn't lead the others and go after him? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Do you have beautiful feet tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do I have beautiful feet tonight? Come on, you know what? Let's get off this worrying about ourselves and worrying about our boat payment or our car payment or worrying about who likes us, who doesn't like us, and who's going to win, whatever. And if this whole thing falls apart around our ears, which I believe it's going to, I believe God has to do something. I cry out for mercy. We should be crying out for mercy. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Why are you going to cry out for mercy for this nation? It's rotten and it stinks to high heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do we want God to just help this thing keep going along like it's going? And all the stuff that's happening in this nation, oh God, have mercy on us, please. You know, I know they're doing this, but I want to be happy and I want my kids to be happy and I want to keep my job and I want to keep my car and I want to be able to eat steak and I want whatever. No, this is awful. Could we be like Elijah and he prayed that it would not rain? And it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. And he told that Ahab, he said, King Ahab, he said, he went to him and said, it's not going to rain again until I say it's going to rain again. Walked out and the man thought, whew, how'd that fool get in here? But you know, he's looking for him after a while. He's looking for him. But God had to send him to another nation, actually, until God said it's time. He had to pray that. He had to pray that. And I want God to have mercy, yes, on his people. Pray that way. Pray that God have mercy on his people. And whatever this thing becomes, I don't know what it's going to become. And you don't know, but we know. I've never in my life come across so many people that know something is about to happen. Especially the church. Now those people out there, you know, but God lets his people know before it happens. Well, praise God. Will you stand with me? You know, I do this like I do at my church. And sorry it's the only way I know to do it, but I think it's pretty effective. I wish we had a piano player. Yep. You know. Oh God, oh God, oh God. God, oh God, oh God. Father, the neighbor. The person at work, man or woman. The people that we're angry with. People that hurt us. God, you care about them. And we're licking our wounds and they're going to hell. And we're going to answer to you for that. You said their blood would be on our hands if we don't warn them. Praise God, but not warn them to be mean to them, but warn them in love. Speak the truth in love. praise God. Lord, this group of men can be an army for you. Hallelujah, Lord. We can be. And all we need to save, Lord, is the ones that you want us to save. We don't have to worry about the others, just the ones you lead us to. Everyone won't receive. They didn't receive you or your disciples. But some did. And some will. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The first thing I want to ask this afternoon tonight, are you here and you're away from God? And the Lord prompted me early before I even got up here to say this. Are you having trouble with sex? Are you a captive to a sexual sin or sexual sins? Are you? And we all do real well hiding that. But we're men. Come on now, we're men. And I don't think there's a man in here that hasn't had some problems and desires and done things that we shouldn't have done, looked at things we shouldn't have looked at. And God wants to heal us of that. It's one of the most difficult things for a man to deal with. I know there's other things, but that's how the devil keeps us down. One way he keeps us down and keeps us from ever going after that one lost sheep, because we're so busy dealing with this demon in our life, this spirit that's operating in us. But whatever, if you're here tonight and you're away from God and you want to come back to Him right now, would you just come and stand here at the front along here, and I want to pray for you. Would you come? I'm sorry we don't have any music to play, but I can hum for you if you want. But whatever, come, praise God. You're not, Brother Merrill said, you're not here by mistake. Time to get it right, praise God. And I don't like to threaten, and I'm not trying to threaten. This could be your last chance. And won't you come and make things right with the Lord tonight? Are you that one lost sheep, and you want to come and get some things right? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Precious men, aren't they precious? They're our brothers. They're our brothers. Praise God.
Can I come and give a testimony?
Later. Praise God.
What?
Later. Praise God, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay.
Well, it's about what you're talking about.
Okay. Afterwards. Right now, the Holy Spirit's dealing. Okay. Lord, praise God. Thank you for these men. Anyone else before we do the next thing? Praise God. Anyone else? I want to ask, are you doing what you are to be doing? Are you going after the lost sheep? Are you going after His lost sheep? And especially those that have hurt you, talked about you, done you dirty, whatever. If you're not, and you want to come and repent of that, because it's wrong, and you want to come and repent and ask God to help you and use you and give you. You know that early church there in Acts, they had, when they were threatened, they had to go, they knew what it was having an effect on. They had to go and pray and ask God, give us boldness. God, give us boldness. By stretching forth your hand to heal and do signs and wonders in the name of your holy child Jesus. And the place where they were sitting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went from there and they spoke boldly. Are you lacking boldness? Praise God. Come if you are, and then we want to begin to pray for these and for you if you want to come. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was preaching in Billings, Montana in May, and two grown men came. Young grown men, maybe middle age. One of them is Brett. His son was standing behind him, a tall, young teenage son. And both those young men, just at different services, fell on their knees and just loud, I mean crying out to God. They didn't care who heard. And asking God to forgive them. And saying they repent. Oh, God hears that, and heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask you that are, you can still come, but if you're back there, would you pray for these? I mean, it's not a spectator sport here. Would you pray for them? Praise God. If you didn't come because you're embarrassed or your pride or or whatever it is, or the devil's telling you won't do any good, then where you're at, just turn around and find a place to pray. It's okay. You don't have to come up here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.